Thank you back there. Well, good morning again. How's everybody doing today in the household of God? I almost feel like I need to, Kelly, bless your heart. How does this happen? All right, sorry. Well, wait. She's gonna move. It's all right, it's all good, stay there. Well, I welcome you this morning, and I welcome all of our friends online and church online because we are part of a larger church, amen? We have Sanctuary, and we have the folks on Unshackled TV that join us every week, and I'm thrilled. I received another testimony 2 weeks ago, and it just every week there's always something where God is doing something through the scriptures and the sermons that are going out on the internet, you know. I know the internet can be used for ill and evil, but it can also be good for used for good and for God. And so God has enabled us to be able to share our messages around the world. And we receive testimonies at least once every couple of weeks of people coming to faith in Christ due to these messages. So we welcome you here today, and we welcome you here online. And we are in part two of our Making Change sermon series, and last week we started with week one. In week one, we talked about less is more. Does everybody remember less is more? So we have four parts, and we're going to repeat them again to make sure that you know them all over the next 4 weeks. You ready? So repeat after me. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. And tomorrow matters. All right, let's do it again. Say it with me. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. All right, so does anybody remember the three things that we were diligently going to profess to do in less is more? Does anybody remember those three things that we talked about? Thinking. All right, I'll give you the first one, cut back. Does anybody remember cut back, about not spending money that we don't have, to cut back on the things that we really don't need, right? The second one was to clear out. You know what was great about that is that Libby had, the day before, had gone through a closet, and if anybody been in my girl's room at any particular time, it's just flat out frightening sometimes. I love them, but Libby, poor Cameron has to share a room with Libby, and Libby's a little bit, she's a little bit of a slob, okay? But anyway, she cleaned out her closet, and after hearing the message on Sunday morning, she was so encouraged. She said, I cleared out a whole garbage bag full of clothes to bless somebody else. So we cut back, we clear out, and the other one was payoff, and payoff was talking about really looking forward to today's message, which is stress is bad. Now, we're talking about financial stress, of course, and this whole sermon series really has everything to do with a biblical foundation for our finances. It's not my ideas about thing, but the Bible is very clear. And as a matter of fact, most of our scriptures for today, we don't just have one, right? Does anybody remember the one from last week? Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil in a chasing after the wind. Do you remember that? That's from Proverbs. And so Solomon, we know, is one of the first kings. Solomon was blessed with what? Wisdom, right? And when he said, anything that I can have, God said, I'll give you anything you want. He said, I would like wisdom. And so we attribute the Proverbs to King Solomon. And so there's a lot of wisdom to be gained. You know, we can't just be New Testament Christians. We want to have the full scope of the scriptures. And so we have the Proverbs that teach us wisdom. And so you'll hear some of those today. We'll also hear what Jesus has to say on the subject because we are Christ followers. So we're talking about financial stress and talking about debt. When we talked about paying things off last week, we want to make sure that we don't get into debt. And I'll talk more about that. Tom gave you a segue of a part of our testimony in tithing, but there's so much more to it than that. So why is stress bad? Why is debt bad, right? I want to ask you a question. So if you Have you ever, anybody ever heard you say this? All right, sorry, I have to think of something to say. You know what? I never had any payments before. But now that I have payments, my life is so much better. Right? Have you heard people say that? I love the high interest on my credit cards because it makes me feel better about myself. I like having the burden of payments every month because it makes my marriage better. Anyone? We get along so much better now that we're in debt. As I look at my husband. That's not really the way that it goes, right? Financial stress and debt normally yields bad relationships and stress in our homes. On the other hand, what you most likely would like to hear and what you would hear people say is that I wish I could give more. If I didn't have so much debt, I could be a greater giver. I could give more. I would love to help people and really give of my margin, but I can't. At this moment, I just can't afford to. What about travel? I wish we could travel. I wish we could see more of this beautiful creation that God has given us, but I just can't. Or as couple, married couples with kids, maybe one of us could stay home with the kids. Maybe one of us could just stay home if we had financial margin. But most time we have two income families because of what is going on in our finances. Maybe you hear people saying how tired they are of being tight financially and fighting all the time. So basically, financial stress is bad. And it's not God's best for our life. You know, God's best is that we are out of debt, that we have financial margin, that what we have, we are being good stewards of, that we are living within our means. Unfortunately, we live in a community, in a society where the American dream seems to consist not of freedom and freedom to worship and all the things that the founding fathers had for us, but American dream is to have more, gain more, more material possessions. And Jesus has told us that our life does not consist of the abundance of our things. I want to give you an example of what happens, how people end up getting in debt. Oftentimes, we'll see commercials, especially like the football game's on this afternoon, and there'll be a lot of those like manly-type commercials, and I know that sounds sexist, but it's the truth. There's car commercials, right? And then you start thinking, I need that new truck. I need that new truck, you know? My old truck just isn't enough, you know? And you start getting believing what they're selling. The marketing people are geniuses at getting us to spend money that we don't have. And then what happens is that maybe you haven't developed a good credit rating, and then you go to buy this thing that you just must have, and you spend $48,000 on this vehicle, and then finance it for how long? 5 years, 6 years, they'll say it in months, right? 72 months, like it's a baby. It's 72 months. That's 6 years you would be paying off this car. Well, let me tell you, if you have a $48,000 truck at 19% over that 72 months, do you have any idea what you would end up paying for that truck? Anyone have any idea? Any actuaries? That's close, 81. Do you know what that truck would be worth in 6 years? Yeah, well, maybe like, you know, 10 or 12, right? After the 6 years and all the mileage that you've put on it. So you have now invested $81,000 on something that you take away at the end that's only worth about 10 or 12. Is that a financial? Is that being a good steward of what God has given you? And unfortunately, so many people do it. Why? Because they don't necessarily understand or have the wisdom to make a choice based on what they have in the bank. And they look at things as, what is the down payment and what is the payment per month? Can I afford that payment per month without looking at the big picture? And that's how, as a culture, we've gotten so far into debt. Most people don't like to talk about it. Right? Maybe I'm embarrassed. Maybe it's too personal. I don't want to talk about my finances. And instead, we end up helpless and hopeless because we don't understand how we've gotten into this mess to begin with. So let me give you Proverbs. Why do we not want to be in debt? Proverbs, this is 22:7. It says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I'm going to say that one again. Ready? The rich rule over the poor. And the borrower is slave to the lender. So God does not want us to be in financial bondage. He delivers. He's our deliverer. He's our redeemer. He brings us out of bondage spiritually, physically, in so many ways. Financially is another part of that. God does not want us to be in bondage. And it's obvious by the Proverbs in the scriptures that the borrower is slave to the lender. You are constantly beholden to the one that you owe the money. So I'm asking you, over the next 4 weeks, to really think about that, or the next 3 weeks, right? We're in week two. I want to challenge you, implore you, beg you to make different choices and to turn your life around, to take this seriously. Imagine what your life would be like if you were able to get rid of all your financial stress. Just take a moment, revel in it. Right? If all of it were gone, right? Here's some examples, right? If you needed something, and I mean need, not want, if you needed something for your home, a piece of clothing, something for your kids, that you bought it because you had the cash for it. Right? That's the way it should be. If something breaks, the car breaks down, something in the house breaks, that you're able to repair it without the stress of wearing, where am I going to pull that money from to be able to take and repair that thing that needs to be repaired? That you're just able to pay for it. If there's somebody in your life that's in need, no problem. I can bless you because I have the margin in order to do it. If you have a week off, then maybe you have the wonderful decision between going to the mountains or going to the beach. Too often, we don't even have vacations because we don't have margin to get away and to take a break. So if the practical side doesn't motivate you and these things that enable you to do it, think of the spiritual side. Jesus said that in the story about the talents, right? The parable of the talents, of the master that left the talents with the servants and what they did with them. The end result of that story is that whoever is faithful with a little, God will trust with more, right? Whoever is faithful with a little, that God will trust with more. Wisely managing our resources is pleasing to God. Does anybody believe that? That what God has enabled and made flow into our life, that it pleases him when we use it responsibly with good stewardship. So I hope you want something different in your life than what you might have right now, and I hope that you want something better, because God's way is better. Amen? Our way, the ways of a man lead to death, right? So there's three prayers I'm going to suggest that you pray about this week, if not going on from here. Three prayers, and the first one is this: God, give me self-control. So say that with me. God, give me self-control. Let's one more time. God, give me self-control. All right, Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. Well, when the Bible was written, a lot of these cities had walls to protect them from attack outside. So if your walls are broken down spiritually, because we are not a city unto ourselves, but we have walls that become broken down without self-control, what does that make us? What would it make the city if the walls were torn down? Defenseless, very good, vulnerable, right? All the things that come up against us because of our lack of self-control. Every one of us has probably been in, let me think, Toys R Us, even Market Basket, some of the food stores, and you've seen a toddler, maybe a two-year-old, right, in the aisle. Has anybody ever seen this two-year-old that wants the fruit chews or wants the candy bar or wants the little toys that they have on display right at the right level for that child to see, and the child is having a fit? Anybody ever see that little two-year-old in the aisle and you just calmly move to the next aisle? Or you start going, why doesn't that parent discipline that child, right? I can't believe that child is acting like that. Well, the truth is that somewhere in deep inside all of us is that we all have a two-year-old little child inside. And then when faced with making the decisions to want or not want, the little child inside goes, I want it. I want And like I said, the marketing people are geniuses to create a desire for things that we don't even need. But the little two-year-old doesn't have the wisdom to be able to differentiate. And the two-year-old wants it, wants it, wants it. Well, we need to, just like that parent, we need to discipline the little two-year-old inside that no matter what the little two-year-old wants, it doesn't necessarily get it. It takes self-control and discipline. Anybody like to shop the clearance racks? That's probably all I ever do, right, when I go shopping. And just like, and on the other side of that is maybe the Kohl's receipt. Anybody ever shop at Kohl's? All right, so Kohl's does this to you when you shop, right? I've been there like for Christmas, get a lot of things for Christmas, and they hand you the receipt at the end, and they go, you have saved $280 today. And almost always I say to them, yes, but I have spent $300. All right, so the difference is they like to highlight what we save. And women probably more than men, again, we are vulnerable to those things. Just like shopping the clearance rack. I got this sweater for $8. I saved blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that you spent X. All right? I know that sometimes there are those that like to just do everything all at once, right? And I'm not going to say men or women, but sometimes it's like I just bought a trailer, or I bought, like, it's a big thing. You know, you just come home and you're like, I just bought this big thing without even thinking, because the two-year-old has not been disciplined. So God, give me self-control. One of the things that we can say is say no for a little while to be able to say yes for the rest of our lives. Say no for a little while and say yes for the rest of our lives. Sometimes we think there's these things that we need all the time. And I've witnessed that not only in my own life, but in people that I know that I love that have financial difficulties, and yet they still experience life to a status that they are not able to keep up with. I know ladies that get their nails done on a consistent basis and yet have no financial margin, that are struggling, but yet the nails are somehow important, or having your hair colored or done every 6 weeks, right? We have this high maintenance thing as ladies sometimes that we can't seem to get under control. Coffee, as you're driving around, constantly getting a coffee where you might not have the margin for the coffee, right? But I need the coffee. So instead, you get to some discipline and say no for a little while. For the next 6 months, I'm giving up coffee to pay off this particular debt. And then to actually take that money and set it aside. I think about all the things that we have nowadays, technology, and how many children, you'll see the children will have the latest technology. Young little kids will have an iPhone or an iPad or something like that. Really? So think about all of that spent in the technology to be able to keep up with the Joneses. That's the other part. Or buying brand new cars, and then they depreciate as soon as you drive off the lot, right? There's a lot of ways that you can create margin. And part of that is some teaching from Dave Ramsey. Now, Tom and I had listened to a lot of the Dave Ramsey when we were in the worst, probably, situation as far as our finances go. And all of that is to say no for a little while, to say yes for the rest of your lives, and you have to become diligent. And he refers to it as gazelle intensity. And I want to just give you a preview, too, because this is just a small part of his teaching from Financial Peace, and we are going to be going heavily into that in January, because I know that Christmas is around the corner, and Christmas is one of those seasons that just gets people into trouble. So come January, we're going to buckle down and make some changes so that everybody can have financial peace and not stress, right? Stress is bad. All right, let's do it again. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good, and tomorrow matters, okay? All right, so the first prayer is, God, give me self-control. Say it again. That's really good. All right, number two, God, give me understanding. Say it with me. God, give me understanding. Now, like in the story that I told in the beginning about buying a car and viewing things from a payoff perspective as opposed to a big picture perspective, that's a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge when it comes to that. So Hosea 4:6 says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And too often that's what we're doing. We're asking how much down, how much per month, and we don't understand the real cost. So I'm going to give you another example. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but I'm sure there are those within the sound of my voice even that have credit card debt. Do you know that if you have $16,000, the average American has $16,000 in credit card debt? Now, that either makes you feel really, really good right now or not so good right now. But the average is $16,000. So if you pay $250 a month on $16,000 at 19%, and I'm saying 19% because that's an average, because some of them are much higher depending on what your card is and your credit rating, or it could be lower than that. If the average is 19%, it will take you, you ready for this? 40 years. 40 years to pay off that debt. And eventually you'll pay $105,000 in interest. Can anybody live in a home for $105,000? Anyone? All right? Do you see how there's a difference between how compounding interest can work against you? That's how compounding interest works against you. Credit card debt, because it has no real value, right? But how can compound interest work for you? Right? If your money is available to work for you, that same $16,000, if you weren't in the whole $16,000 and you had $16,000 to invest, let's bring it down to 12%. Over 40 years, you know how much money you would have? $1.5 million. That same debt can be working for you to create something for you. If you invest that $16,000 now, and instead of paying $250 to your credit card, and you put that $250 into an interest-bearing account over the same amount of time, do you know how much money you would have? $4 million. $4 million! I can't even... And that's why it's critical that we get out of bondage when it comes to our finances, because we are held fast by financial debt, because there's so much more that we could be doing with that. Think of how much you could be a blessing to somebody else with $4 million in the bank. I'm just thinking, if I had $100,000 in the bank, I could be a blessing to somebody. You know, like the money that we have and what we do with it. All right? So God, give me understanding. Say that again. God, give me understanding. The third one is this prayer. God, give me a plan. God, give me a plan. All right. So we want self-control. We want understanding to understand the repercussions of our choices. And the third one is that we need a plan. Proverbs 21:5 says this. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. So what is haste? Well, the original Hebrew translates to this. I felt sad and I went shopping. No, I'm joking, obviously. But what happens is that haste, that urgency that we have to spend, that leads to poverty. So I'm going to give you this one sentence, and I want you to hear this well, all right? You can wander into debt. Sometimes it just happens by default. We make bad choices, and we wander into debt. But you will never wander out. You're not going to end up out of debt just by mistake, just because something's going to happen good, all right? You can wander into debt, but you can't wander out. You need a plan. And that's part of what we're going to be doing with financial peace. But I want to give you a few ideas even now in advance of what we're talking about. And the most important thing is the debt snowball. I'm going to talk about that second. But the first thing that Dave Ramsey will tell you to do is to save enough money to have an emergency fund. What I was talking about earlier is that we should have enough money set aside that if something happens, you can just pay for it. You don't have to charge it. You don't have to freak about it. You don't have to stress about it. But we have savings in mind. So $1,000 in the bank. And you can do that. You know that? I'm going to look at every one of you. Every one of you can have at least $1,000 in savings in the bank right now that's available as an emergency fund. Not just in that you might say, well, I have that in my checking account right now. Is it dog-eared to be the emergency fund, or is that what you're paying your bills for the next month? So $1,000 in a savings account that's there only there. And you can do that by shaving off and controlling that little two-year-old that wants to spend. And save that money purposefully. You know, like if I'm not buying a coffee, I take that $5 and I put it in something. And I save that money so that you can see the fruit of what you're doing. Well, the other thing is called a debt snowball. Now, let me give you a little story of what Tom, do you mind if I share our story a little bit? Okay. It's not necessarily attractive, and it doesn't put us in a good light for a long time. But God, okay? So when Tom started his business, first, we, as young people, we didn't have anybody really teaching us how to be financially responsible. Had nobody. My dad had died. My dad was probably the most financially responsible person I know, and he died when I was 22. So he wasn't around to kind of tell me what to do. And so we did the best that we could with the limited knowledge that we had, and we had kids, and we made the decision that I would stay home. And that made us make decisions even then that were difficult. There were a lot of things that we couldn't do for a long time because it was important for me to stay home. Then when we moved to Ashby, we bought a home, and Tom had a job when we bought the home. But within 2 months of us moving to Ashby 16 years ago, Tom lost his job. They closed that office and eliminated his position. So now we had a mortgage and no job, and I was home with the kids. And at the same time, all of these other opportunities came up for Tom, and he was able to do a lot of things because he's a smart go-getter. Tom's one of those people that, huh? Keep going. Handsome, supportive. and because he never relaxed enough to take, you know, not having income. So he was always working. And then he felt like God had really made it clear to him the business he was supposed to start. And so he started what eventually became Steeplecom. But what happened in the process is that we lived by faith, like crazy faith, and it wasn't easy, and we weren't good at it, okay? So we not only had our mortgage that we had to keep juggling, but we had to actually feed our kids. And he didn't have a job, but he felt like God has told him to start this company, and so we had to just live by faith. But that faith in our hands became a couple years worth of debt to the IRS. Does anybody know what it looks like when you work for yourself and you need the money that you would normally pay on taxes to feed your kids? You figure the IRS will just wait. So that happened to us. We had the IRS on our back an awful lot, and then we had well over $50,000 in credit card debt just to survive. I mean, we did not lead an extravagant lifestyle. Trust me. We were on WIC. We were on food programs. I used to, God bless the pastor at my former church, he used to send us home with the food pantry food. It was hard. But we got to a point where it got so difficult that we had to make a decision to change what we did. And we heard the teaching of Dave Ramsey. And we made a choice at that point. We weren't going to go into any more debt. We were going to begin to pay off all of our bills and make choices that would be honoring to God. And one of those choices for me personally was to tithe. And let me tell you, we didn't have the money for me to tithe. So I know what it looks like when you go, I can't possibly tithe. I'm going to tell you, you can. There is zero excuse to not tithing. I'm going to tell you that right now, because if you give God your first fruits, he will take care of the rest. And so I began to take whatever income I had, which was just a little bit as a worship leader. It was $100 a week. And I took that and I sowed 10% back. constantly, consistently, and at the same time, we began to pay off our debt. We didn't travel. We didn't buy new things. I invested all of my old clothes at the Unique Boutique in West Townsend. Does anybody know where that is? And so I had an account there. I would bring all our old clothes there, and she would sell them, and it would earn me money. And then I would take that money, and I would buy clothes and shoes for my kids. Okay? I did everything that we could possibly do to not spend money in a way that we couldn't. And so slowly but surely, due to Tom's diligence and the gracious provision of God, we slowly began to pay off all of that debt. We had the worst credit rating ever for a long, long time. We came very close to losing our home. It was scheduled for the foreclosure auction. You know, and it was during the time where everybody was foreclosing because they had all those crazy loans and they weren't patient. Now people can live in the house for like 5 years and the banks are like, meh. I don't know. That didn't experience for us. We were like a month behind and they were already scheduling our foreclosure. And another thing that happened for me spiritually during that time is that I had to turn everything over to God. And so I will testify, and I shared some of this with you guys, but for poor Tom, I'm telling you, I was supportive, but not really, okay? So I kept encouraging him and what he felt called to do by God, but at the same time, I always said to him this one thing, and I repent constantly of it. You can do whatever you want, Tom, but don't you lose my home. Can you imagine? So sorry. So God did a work in my heart so that I could lay all that down because it was an idol, okay? Did I trust God or did I not? And it wasn't until I got to a point where I looked at Tom and I said, you know what? Because God had done something to me. I said, it doesn't matter where we live. If we lose the house, we'll start all over again. We'll just rent a house. We'll rent an apartment. It's okay as long as we have each other and we have our kids. And bam, God did a miracle. But it had to happen to me first, to put God first. All right, this is more than just your finances. It is everything. Idolatry. You need to search your heart and find out where the idolatry is in your life so that you can remove it. Put God first and watch him move in your life. I watched a miracle happen in our finances. And so instead of wondering always how we were going to pay the bills, do you know that God provided everything that we needed just in time, all the time. Am I right? It was amazing. And if it got really difficult, we'd say, you know what? God's going to move right now because God's the only one that can do it. And boom, we'd get some money in the mail or he'd get a contract or something. It was amazing. And so now we began to live by faith, trusting in God, not live by faith, trying to do it ourselves and going into debt. And God enabled us to constantly pay off those credit cards, to pay off the IRS. We don't owe the IRS anymore. Thank the Lord. That was the worst. And then to slowly, I was juggling three credit cards. Anybody ever do that? You find the one with the best rate, and then you keep transferring it over here and then over there. I had this, like, the juggling with the credit cards. But I'll tell you, what eventually happened over time is that our credit began to get better. And then I would get more credit cards, and I would get 0%, so I'd transfer it over the 0%. And I'm going to tell you, I wish I could tell you we are completely out of the hole, but we are less than $1,000 left on our credit cards. And that's in over 10 years, a little less than 10 years. But instead of paying 40 years for $16,000, we have been able to get almost out of debt and credit card debt. Praise the Lord. And we were able to take the house that we almost lost. We were able to sell 6 years ago at a profit and use the cash from that to be able to rehab the house that we're in, so we never went into debt, to rehab the house that we're in right now. We were able to refinance all of that, go into a 15-year mortgage instead of a 30-year mortgage, and we pay more than what we owe on that too, so we will get out of debt faster. We've been in that house for 6 years. We'll probably be done in the next four. But that is that gazelle intensity, to know that we want to be in a position to be able to bless others, to give and to tithe. And then Tom will tell you, he began the spiritual practice of tithing, and that has made all the difference. All the difference. So I want to tell you that you can do it. We have gone from being two young people in our 30s with no plan, no hope, trying to figure out how to feed our kids. You know, I've been there where you're driving around with your kids and maybe and they're like, Mommy, can we get a Happy Meal? No. And I'll tell you, when you're in the middle of it, it breaks your heart. You know, Mommy, can we get this? No, I'm so sorry. We used to do, this was our Christmas for the longest time, okay? When they were little, Tom's family did this great stuff, and I'm so glad that he brought that tradition into our family. So when your kids are little, they're clueless as to what they get for Christmas. Can I tell you? So for the longest time, we would wrap soda bottles, you know, give them a bottle of soda, a box of cookies, all things like from the dollar store. And that was what they got for Christmas and maybe one nice new outfit, okay? Because we didn't have the money to do that. But do you know what? My kids are clueless. They never knew that they were in lack. Do you know, they weren't in lack. But you know what I mean? I'll probably have to stay up here, honestly. All right, let me just finish. I just wanted to encourage you because if we can do it, you can do it. And it feels good to be able to give, all right? We haven't always been able to give. I'll just sit here. Still have me on the camera? We're able to give now where we were never able to give. We were able to do things that we were never able to do. And I'm going to tell you, it feels really, really good. It feels good not to have that monkey on your back. So I want to encourage you to glorify God with your finances, right? Less is more. Stress is bad. You know, giving is good. What this is going to lead into is we make changes in our finances to give us margin, then we'll be able to give. Because giving is good, right? God gave his one and only son. We have the model through God. We want to be able to be givers and joyful givers. And so when we have that margin, we're able to give. And then tomorrow matters. We're going to talk about making plans for tomorrow. And none of this matters depending on your age. All right? Changes that you make right now are going to have long-lasting effects. It doesn't matter if you're 20 or if you're 60. Everything that you make a change for now is only going to be glorifying to God. Think about it. If you're thinking about your finances and you want to honor God with those, it's the choices that we make to serve God or serve self. Amen? So let's say it again. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. And tomorrow matters. Hallelujah. So God, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, give us self-control in our finances, God, and spur us to do the right thing, God. When presented with things, you know, I know that the enemy of our souls would have us in bondage and have us continually seeking after something that only you can fill. We talked about that last week, oh God, that there's a hole in us that only Jesus can fill. And the amount of our possessions will never satisfy what God can only satisfy. And so, God, give us self-control and give us the knowledge to make right decisions that glorify you in our finances. God, we want to do everything righteously before you, God, that you've given your word to instruct us and help us. We don't want to be slave to a lender anymore, God. We want to be out of debt. And so, God, enable us to have the wisdom to make those choices. And God, give us a plan. Help us see the steps in order to take. Have us look at the finances and how we can make those step-by-step choices that will glorify you and get us closer to being debt-free so that we can be joyful givers and to give to God's kingdom without holding back. And so, God, we thank you, oh God, that today we can make the steps even now to commit. And I would pray that anybody in this room with all eyes closed, is anybody in this room seeks to follow after God in this area, in their finances, that they would raise their hand, that God would see I'm not even looking. God, I know that there are those in here that want to honor you with their finances, God. So just be with them today, oh God, and help them make those right steps. Help them to glorify you. Help them continue to seek to serve you in this area, even when it becomes difficult, God. Help the couples, God, to work together in harmony in this area, God, and to look in the same direction and not look in the opposite directions, God. I pray against division that might come due to finances, God, but as they make these steps, that, Lord, you would be with that and honor that commitment as a couple and be with them to hold them together and keep them unified by your Holy Spirit. And God, I am aware, too, that debt is so prevalent in our society, but God, there is a debt that is even greater than our financial debt, Lord, and that is our spiritual debt, our sin debt. And that, God, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that sin debt is a debt that we cannot possibly repay, but that, God, you have made a way in your mercy, oh God, you have made a way for us to be able to pay that debt through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for anybody in this place, Lord, that wants to make that decision today, God, to know that their slate can be wiped clean, that they no longer have to carry a sin debt. I pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts right now, that maybe they need to make that decision to follow after you, and that would enable them to move forward in the things of God and to let all of these things from the past just fall away and to focus and to follow after you. And so I invite everyone to pray with me even now. If this is not your prayer for the first time, but to pray with those that are praying this prayer for the first time so that no one feels set aside and left out, but that we come together believing as a body of Christ in surrendering to God. And sometimes we need to do that each time we gather, that there are those things that get in the way. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you would remove all idols from our lives, and that, God, we would be able to surrender to you. So if you would join me and repeat after me, all God's people, then with the sound of my voice, Heavenly Father, today I surrender my life to you, asking Jesus to forgive me, to save me, to make me new, fill me with your Holy Spirit, so I may serve you all my days. My life is not my own, and today I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you. Thank you, church. Be blessed. Be blessed in the worship. Hallelujah.